Well, hey, good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. I hope your week is off to a great start. And thanks again here for joining us on the Drivecast. This past Sunday, we continued on in the Ecclesiastes series, and we were in chapter 7. And at Marion, we really focused in on verses 15 through 18. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I've already started, so I might as well keep going. There are times, believe it or not, on Monday mornings, I've got my little routine. I try and do as much sermon prep on Mondays as I can. Somehow my brain is sort of fresh coming off of Sunday. And I sit down, got a cup of coffee, maybe two, and I start reading through the text. And this week I was like, I don't know. I just read it and I just found myself saying, I'm having a difficult time understanding how to make sense of this. And here's why. Let me read 15 through 18 for you here. Ecclesiastes 7, in this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these, the righteous perishing in their righteousness and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Do not be over righteous, neither be over wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over wicked and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? So it's like, okay, wait a second. Is he telling us to play the middle of the road approach, right? All things in moderation. Don't be too good. Don't be too bad. What is he saying here? And this is one of those moments where I think we have to understand that all of Scripture, as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 would say, all of Scripture is breathed out by God and it's profitable for teaching, right? So there's value in this. We also know that the Word of God is trustworthy, it is true, and so we have to rest on that. And so when I find myself reading passages that I'm just like, I don't know, and maybe I'm alone in that, but I feel like, okay, Lord, help me understand this from your Word. Like, help your Word round out my understanding for what it is you're saying. And so I found myself going to the New Testament and the book of Luke, and the story of the prodigal son, because I think in that story is actually the example of what it is the preacher is talking about here in Ecclesiastes 7. So again, he's saying, look, don't be overly righteous and don't be overly wicked. Well, in the story of the prodigal son, what we see is there's a younger son, and I'm just going to paraphrase this story. And so it's in the Gospel of Luke, and the younger son, he goes to his father. It's a very familiar story. He says, hey, give me all my inheritance, essentially wishing his father to be dead. His father says, okay, here you go. He goes off into a foreign land, squanders all of the wealth, and when all of the friends and all of the parties and all of the possessions are gone, the younger son finds himself eating the pig slop amongst the pigs, representative of just the lowest of low. At this time, in Israel, pigs were a forbidden animal. And so he finds himself amongst the pigs, and he comes to the end of himself. He repents. He comes back to his father expecting just like, make me just a servant in your house. And instead his father says, look, go get a robe, slaughter the fattened calf. We're having a party. My son is back. And so in this, we sort of get this idea, like, don't be overly wicked, like, don't be the prodigal son, in the sense of don't allow yourself to get into that mess. And I think we see that, and that would make sense to us. It's easy. But what about the statement, do not be overly righteous? And it seems what he's saying is, you can't prolong your life. You can't sort of buy a good life by doing all of the right things. That's what the author of Ecclesiastes is saying. As much as we want to believe you can, he's saying you can't, because good people die young. Bad things happen sometimes. It's just the way of a broken, sinful world. And so what does he mean? Well, again, I don't think he means that we should play the middle of the road. I don't think he means that we should dabble in sin and make sure we're not too extreme in fleeing from sin. I don't think that's what he means, because that would contradict so much of the rest of Scripture. But what I do think he means is don't be the older brother. The older brother in the story of the prodigal son, what we see, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, is when the younger brother comes back, he's like, no. Dad, he went off. He basically wished you were dead. I've been here the whole time doing all the right stuff. I've been working the land. I've been doing all the things. I've been perfect. And I'm not going to participate in your grace for this younger rebellious brother. And so what we see is him really refusing to go into this party that the father is having because he's really being overly righteous. He's saying, I deserve all of these things. He doesn't. Therefore, I'm not going to participate in this feast, in this party. And the feast is really representative of the presence of God. And so he's saying, I'm going to cut myself off from God because I'm overly righteous. And I think that's really what the author is getting to here. He's saying, look, if you are righteous on your own merit, you're being overly righteous. You're being Pharisaical. You're really cutting yourself off from God. And so what's the key then? Okay, how do we do this? Well, to not become overly righteous to the extent of the older brother and thinking because we have been quote unquote perfect, which is impossible, by the way, we deserve XYZ. What we need to understand is that really the only righteousness we have comes from Jesus, right? There is nothing good in us on our own. Every good work, every fruit, every sin that we don't struggle with, everything is by the grace of God. And so as we seek to flee sin and as we seek to live righteous lives, it's not that we in our own strength are living righteously, but it's that we're focusing our attention and our hearts and our minds on the cross. And so what happens is when we focus on the cross, we naturally want to pursue the things that are like Jesus, and we naturally want to flee the things that Jesus had to die for. And so we have this natural balance then of not becoming overly self-righteous because we realize our righteousness is from Jesus. And at the same time, like I said just a second ago, we flee the very things that Jesus deemed serious enough to be crucified for. And so in order to have a healthy balance of not being overly righteous in our own merit and not being overly wicked, again, is this focus and this emphasis on the cross and what Jesus has done. And so my question for us this morning as we wrap up our time is your focus on Jesus. And man, isn't that always the question? But really, how can we just have a better intention and saying, Jesus, I want to honor you with my life. I want you to be glorified in and through my life. And so help me have a right heart toward pursuing godliness and a right heart toward fleeing sin. And the only way I can have the balance of that is by rightly understanding the sacrifice you made for me and the unmerited grace you've given to me through faith. And so that's really what I want to pray toward as we close our time together this morning. I do, again, want to say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast. Hope you'll join again tomorrow. I'm going to pray for us first, and I want to give you some time to pray as well. Father, thank you for just the fact that you give us righteousness that we don't deserve. You give us Jesus's righteousness, that you didn't punish us for our sin, but you poured your wrath out against sin upon Christ. Given that reality, Father, would you give us a right heart toward pursuing righteousness, not on our own merit, not so that we look good, but so you're glorified and we honor the sacrifice, Jesus, that you've made on our behalf. Would you help us focus our hearts, Jesus, on what you've done for us? And again, would that give us a right attitude toward godliness and toward fleeing the things, Jesus, that you went to the cross to die for and to save us from? We ask that you would do that by the power of your Spirit within our hearts. We need you to do that, Father. We trust you to do that. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.